Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us today, and a happy new year to everybody. This first Sunday of 2016, that is the church that we come together to celebrate what we call the Solemnity of the Epiphany of the Lord, where the wise men in Matthew's Gospel bring their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the child Jesus. Epiphany is a word that means to make manifest or to make known or to reveal. Congratulations today go out to Michael Hopper, one of our seminarians who's been in residence here at the Madeleine. He was ordained a transitional deacon this last Monday at Holy Family Cathedral. He is there this Sunday for the first time to preach on a Sunday and to preach at all of the Masses. That's five Masses on a weekend to preach at. So he's learning today what he signed up for. And so to pray for him, particularly as he continues, he'll be ordained to the priesthood in July of this year. And also know that our next Theology Uncorked event will be on January the 14th, Thursday. Our guest speaker is Father Jack Gleason. So he's coming back to the Madeleine, and he's going to be here. The topic will be the Jewish roots of the Eucharist, and we have information and a sign-up for that in the vestibule of the church so that we have a fair idea of how many people to buy supplies for, you know, for that evening. And certainly our guests from other parishes are welcome to our monthly speaker series. Recently I saw on the internet a quote that is attributed to a man by the name of Ricky Gervais. Gervais is an Englishman. He's an actor and a comedian. He also gets hired to host some of these award shows occasionally, it seems. And the quote was, as I remember, he says that there were 3,000 religions in the world, including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Native American spirituality, and on and on and on, and you think that yours is the only one that's right. Now, I don't know whether there's 3,000 religions or not, but it was on the internet, so it must be true, right? So it's online, so it must be, that's right there. We have to take it at face value. But nonetheless, obviously what Gervais is saying is more than a slight dig at religious believers of all types, because he seems to be at the very least implying a form of relativism. Well, all these different religions, they're all the same. They're all equal. And however, Gervais is an atheist, and he's very upfront about that. In fact, this quote came from a website that was a humanist or atheist website. And so it seems to be implying that all religions are equal. They're all equally wrong, and we'd be better off without them. Allow me to politely, yet also directly, reject the premise of that statement. Is Gervais saying that because there are all these different religions, therefore, if there was a God, we would all be on the same page, and therefore it's all pointless? Or is he perhaps unknowingly acknowledging that the desire to encounter the divine, to encounter the infinite, the desire to encounter God, is a universal human characteristic that goes across the board? It goes across culture, across racial and ethnic backgrounds, and also transcends time. That desire to encounter God, the infinite, to encounter the holy, is a basic, fundamental human characteristic. And we, hopefully as Catholics, should understand that. The religious word for that is, we would describe that as an a priori condition of the human person. To use a modern word, we're hardwired for God. We're hardwired to desire to be in communion with something greater than ourselves. And we see that, particularly as Catholics, the only thing that's going to satisfy that desire is encountering Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to satisfy, although we try. We often substitute something else for God. Because we're going to worship something, we're going to give our lives over to something. If it's not God, it's going to be something else. This being 2016, it is an election year, and for some people, politics becomes their religion, it becomes a substitute. For other people, it's sports, year-round, becomes a substitute for, becomes their de facto religion. For all of us, there's always the temptation of the usual suspects. the pursuit of power, pleasure, wealth, and status. The ones that Jesus is always warning us off of to stay away from. And there's also the temptation that we make ourselves out to be God. One of the critiques of that a Catholic writer that I follow has of someone such as Ricky Gervais is that, as with many of the new atheists, he worships his intellect instead of uses his intellect. And that's a temptation, in effect, for all of us, including religious believers. Because if we're not going to worship God, we're going to worship something else. And the Bible has that word for that. Idolatry. It's no accident the first of the Ten Commandments deals with that very issue. Because that's a great temptation for every one of us. But that desire for God, the desire to encounter the holiness, the desire to encounter the infinite, I think that's what is occurring on this celebration of the Epiphany. You have these three strangers coming from afar seeking after the child Jesus. Now, throughout the Christmas season, by the way, we're still in the Christmas season. I know if you're in retail, the Christmas season ended the 25th of December. But as Catholics, we should understand that the Christmas season begins on the 25th of December and continues on to the baptism of the Lord. So if your neighbors ask you why you still have your Christmas decorations up, you say, no, I'm not procrastinating. I'm being Catholic. So I'm still leaving them up at least for a few more days. These three strangers who, there's a later tradition that they're given the names of Caspar, Balthasar, and Melchior, but it's a later tradition. Gospel of Matthew does not name them. They're coming probably from what's modern day Iran. And they are seeking after Jesus. And by their doing so, and what they bring, that epiphany, something is being manifested. They are acknowledging the manifestation of the incarnation. Because in this Christmas season, if you've been following the readings for daily mass, one person after another, as they encounter Jesus, whether Jesus is still in the womb or Jesus is a newborn, that encounter transforms them, changes them. Whether it's Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, whether it's John the Baptist himself, whether it is Simeon or Anna in the temple, or the shepherds who come to adore Jesus in the manger. And now in Matthew's gospel, we have the Magi, the wise men, the three kings. They represent, in a real sense, that the Word is made flesh to dwell among us. The incarnation is for all people, not for a set group. That's why we hear in the prayers today for the Epiphany, Lord, all the nations of the earth will adore you. Christ is the light to all nations, to all people. The incarnation is being manifested, because that is what Christmas is. It's not the annual exchange, cultural exchange of gifts. It's not this childhood magical holiday that we cling to, but rather it is that God becomes one of us. God becomes one of us in the person of Jesus for our salvation. So over and over again in the Christmas season, that is what we hear. And again, we hear it with the gifts also brought by the wise men. You know, I've have to put it this way. When it comes to baby showers, I'm on the periphery of all that at best. But it seems the wise men bring some rather interesting gifts. But with each one of those gifts, it's important. Because they are signifying who it is that is being revealed to us. Because they've come not just to admire a newborn child as a wonderful miracle as it is. They have come to adore the incarnation. They bring first the gift of gold. That gold in the ancient world was a gift that you offered to a king. So acknowledging that Jesus is a king, they also bring the gift of frankincense. Frankincense is a dried resin from a plant in the Middle East that it is ground up into fine powder or small crystals, and then it is put on hot charcoals to create the clouds of incense. And you burn incense to signify the presence of the divine. Incense is kept burning constantly in the temple of Jerusalem, we hear in the Bible, to signify the presence of God in the Ten Commandments and the Ark of the Covenant. So they bring incense, frankincense, to signify that they accept Jesus as God. And then they bring myrrh. Myrrh is an ointment in the ancient world could be used to anoint a body in preparation for burial. imagine that's not too much myrrh shows up at a traditional baby shower. But this gift as well reminds us of the fullness of the incarnation. Because as I said at Christmas, to accept, to adore, and to welcome Christ in the crib is also to accept, adore, and welcome Christ on the cross. The fullness of the incarnation is being made manifest, the epiphany, in what we hear in today's gospel. Also, notice that when they find the incarnation, it's not in the usual places that we might think. Not amongst the rich and powerful, they don't find him in the palace of Herod the king, but rather they find him with this refugee couple, Joseph and Mary, in a very small town of Bethlehem. And often in those cases, that is where the Word made flesh is made manifest to us, in the unexpected places of grace. So for us, on this first Sunday of the new year, on this Epiphany of the Lord, and this year of mercy, perhaps we should be asking ourselves, praying with the intention of, where will we encounter this mercy in this new year? Where will the Word made flesh be made manifest, revealed to us? With whom and in what way? And will we be open to receiving it? Because it is a gift for all of the nations, for all those, that cuts across cultural, ethnic, racial, language barriers. Because we are hardwired to desire God, to encounter the holy, to be in touch with the infinite. And it's not just that we are seeking that. The incarnation, what's also revealed, is that God is seeking us. It's not a game of hide and seek. God is made manifest in Jesus to give himself to us, to satisfy that deepest desire of our souls. As we come together on this first Sunday of the new year, as Christ gives himself to us, particularly in the gift of the Eucharist. May this manifestation of grace take hold in us. May we desire it all the more in this new year, and desire the gift of mercy for ourselves and for all that we meet. May God continue to bless us with his mercy, and may we continue to rejoice in the gift of the incarnation.